Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Welcome to Weird Things. I'm Andrew Main, joined by Brian Brushwood.
Yeah, so I assume since I'm here, that must mean Justin's not around this week.
That would be inconceivable.
What?
Wait, Justin. Justin Robert Young.
Ah, I'm here. We're all here. Wait a minute. The three caballeros are back together, right?
I'm sorry. I just had something come up. You guys are going to have to cover for me for the rest of the podcast.
God, no. I don't care how many times you're moving across the country or you're becoming some whiskey sensei. We're not canceled. We're not doing this show half-cocked anymore.
Hold on. That's a good point. I should put on my medallion. There we go. God. There we go. I'll just wreck this.
What medallion is that, Brian? What big? Brian just put on a medallion around his neck that's about the size of a trash can lid.
Of the actual rapper Flava Flav, not of the oversized clocks he wore, but the actual rapper himself. Last week there was a special opportunity to take a 2-day course. It was the hardest course. Oh my God, that whiskey sommelier course was hard. And I know
Say that again.
Whiskey sommelier course.
You got an award for drinking whiskey.
For successfully demonstrating book knowledge of how whiskey is made and distilled.
Was there any whiskey consumed?
I mean, you can't sommelier without Somali drinking Somali
next
pirates.
Week. I'm gonna have my porn metal award watching.
It's good, a porn sommelier.
Porn Dex, whatever that is. I'm gonna have mine for watch. Brian, it's not all watching porn. You know what the number one comment is on porn website videos?
What first?
What's her name?
Oh, what's her name? Good call.
I don't know if that's a real statistic, but that sounds like that one. I would never
question
real.
It. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But gentlemen, it's exciting to be back. So I have it's a couple things to talk about. And it feels like this, sometimes the future is here and then sometimes the future is sort of kind of there. Case in point. VR is cool. You guys got Vives. Vives are really fun and all that. I was so close to pulling the trigger, but I'm like, I won't. I got a Netflix queue I haven't even caught up with, and I kind of want it to be a little cooler. So let me wait. And then a buddy sent me a link the other day, my buddy Justin Robert Young's former person who used to hold that role, Ken Montgomery. Ken's my buddy from back in middle school and high school. And so I used to call, I'd call Justin new Ken, and there was old Ken right in front of Ken. But anyhow, so Ken and I talk a lot. Ken sent me this link, and it was this image of the MSI VR1 backpack for VR gaming.
Oh my dude, there's a like truly portable stuff, being able to run around and
wait. Freeze, Brian.
What?
So my response to him was I sent back an image of like what I thought about that. And that was circa, 2005, 2006.
Yeah, it looks like a blue crab, only it's got it's handheld and has an earphone port in there.
You know what that was?
I give up.
That was the camera for a camera phone in 2006. That was the Sidekick camera attachment.
Wow.
Remember the Sidekick?
Yeah. The Sidekick was basically, it looked like a phone, but you could slide it out and there's a keyboard on there.
Yeah, you could do email, do texting. It was kind of BlackBerry for degenerates like myself. Justin and I had Sidekicks. We used that. It was cool because you could do email. You had like mobile web browsing back then. But that was the camera, was you had to plug in this little dongle for this little 300 whatever kind of thing.
Yep.
Which, in the day, you're like, all right, this is cool. But we know it's getting better. we know it's going to get improve. You know, we know that's going to get better. So when I saw this gaming backpack, I'm like, really? Really? You know, like this is in 3 years, we're going to look at this and be like, this is the dumbest thing ever.
Well, yes, of course we are. But okay. Meanwhile, you want to sit there on the sidelines, crotchety and waving your hands while meanwhile, yes, everyone is having a great time.
Yes, I do, because this is going to be so quickly. It was like in the 1990s, there was a company that got funded and their goal was, you know, internet surfing is it's hard to get, you know, good access. What we'll do is we'll download all the major sites to your computer overnight and then you can browse them.
Dude,
and that was like,
that was actually a really good solution if you only had dial up at the time. I mean, it was so good that ISP started to ban its use
because it was actually took so much data to be able to do that. And it was not a good consumer model. They didn't get enough subscription because people kept this isn't here. This is here. There was Pointcast and other stuff, those articles, which is good. But this was like, oh, we're going to save the most popular websites. But when those are doubling every 3 months.
All right. Well, let's first look at what I think. I mean, if you scroll through that site, what it looks like it's pitching itself for is more of an enterprise level solution. It's not necessarily a consumer thing, although I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of other like early adopters that are going to want to try to do it. But by and large, all the examples that they're giving are like, hey, if you want a high end differentiating kind of experience, here is something that you can do with it. The question that I would have is, I mean, I guess it would just kind of connect with the lighthouses on the Vive, right? So you would still be able to operate kind of in that free walking space.
Well, I mean, it's fairly astonishing to me that you're not all over this, since it was you, Andrew, that introduced the idea that virtual reality is going to make it possible for you to go to a park or to a warehouse and then, you know, click a button and suddenly you guys are slaying dragons together and playing football and shooting each other. Like, this literally makes possible today your vision, but you don't like it because you know something better will be coming down the road later?
Well, there's always something better, but the timeline between where we are and where that better thing is much, much closer. I guess that's my point. There's a very compact timeline. We're 18 to 24 months away where that's dumb. Not 5 years or 10 years. In my opinion, looking at processor speeds, we're at this point where in like a year and a half, 2 years, that's going to look like a silly. That's my opinion. You know,
Andrew, you're selling short on the idea, right? Like, yes, it's here, but You are pre-crowing about the next thing that comes out that blows out of the
park. I think the era of if I want to do mobile VR, I got to wear a backpack is going to be a very, very short window. Very, very short window. Versus we had iterations for like, you know, certain things iterate faster. And I think we're in a phase where VR is going to iterate very, very faster. Like, the problem right now is mobile chipsets, things like that. There's a lot of number of things, but you look at where they're going to be in like 18 to 24 months, like, oh yeah, no, it'll be fast enough to do that. I won't need all this whole big rig. I think it's going to look like, you know, when you look at the first compact computer luggable, there was a market for that. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't a huge market, was not a big market, but there was a market for that. But the real form factor we all fell in love with was the notebook or the laptop.
So let me ask you this then. Like, what is the most offensive element of it that you think will seem very, very silly when the next thing comes? Like, is the next thing that comes, like, is there any element of it hanging off you, or is it just all on your face? Like, is that the golden goose? Like, do you have like maybe a cape?
I'm taking my shots, but I absolutely think that there's valid points everybody's making. So I'm just saying, like, I think that's the thing on your face. I think it's the standalone thing on your face is that, you know, I had a Palm Pilot, but, you know, Palm Pilot was kind of cool, but then you had to sync it. So once Blackberries and things like that came out, Palm Pilot started to decline. You know, Palm Pilot, you know, was, you know, almost 20 years before the iPhone, you know, this thing started kind of reached its apex and then started to decline. I think this is going to have but had a good run. I don't know how long the run is going to be for VR backpacks.
I think that you are looking at this, and forgive if I'm projecting the wrong thing, but it sounds to me like maybe you are projecting, your individual consumer experience onto what this thing's for, which I don't believe that's what it's for. I think, keep in mind, I live just down the road from Blazer Tag, a financially solvent entertainment arena based on early 90s technology where the map never changes, the equipment is ancient, and you're still just shooting lasers at each other's chests. That company could easily spend, say $100,000, outfit everyone with backpacks, and all of a sudden they can map every time they want to do a new game or a new set of rules. They pay a programmer $5,000 to $10,000, and then they're able to skin everything. Then, all of a sudden you're wearing the same amount of gear as you are during laser tag, but all of a sudden you have a massive influx of interest because for many people, this will be the first time they've ever experienced VR. And then on top of that, yes, in 4 years, the backpacks are much, much smaller and more comfortable. I think you're over-optimistic to think that there's anything like a Vive experience coming in 18 to 24 months that's just a face thing only. I don't think that's possible, certainly not with handheld lasers or triggers and all that stuff and room scale ability of sufficient quality. I think this could be a good investment.
There's a roadmap with the chipsets. I've looked at what Qualcomm, Intel, and all that, what they're putting on their deliverables are, and that's in the pipeline for things that they're the chipsets, what they say they're going to be able to do, and we're going to have the low latency and all that. That's been the last couple of years. There's been a lot more in trying to do VR. So, you know, it's like, so I could say from a technology on the technology roadmap, what they say is coming, and they've been pretty good at that, the chipset roadmaps, I would say, that's coming pretty quickly. And also because part of what they're able to do too is that Vive and stuff has to compensate for the fact that, you know, you're dealing with the Kinect, you know, you're dealing with separate chipsets, et cetera, things like that were defined for different functions. Now we're getting into stuff that's specialized. You have Apple, which is also developing their own special AR and VR chipsets. It's doing their own hardware stuff, which there's only been a little bits and stuff about that. So I think that we're going to start getting the next generation of these things in 18, 24 months are going to be available. What applications they go into. Now, to your point about creating that VR kind of arcade experience, that could be cool. The question is you have a high capital cost. And if you're saying that, you know, if you have a technology that, let's say 5 years time, even the consumer thing is going to be just as good or better, which is what killed the arcade. And one of the reasons the arcade sort of died. The other thing is like you had some great things like Disney Quest, which was a fun experience, but they realized the cost of creating these specialized games and that technology was hard to recuperate when the consumer technology was iterating so much faster.
Sure, sure. But, yeah, no,
I don't know.
I certainly don't.
By the way,
before somebody corrects us, there are virtual reality like theme parks now. I think there's one in like upstate New York.
IMAX is trying that, whatnot. We'll see, you know, is that the internet cafe of the 90s, or is that going to be a viable thing?
Yeah, and I guess if I was going to identify the difference, I mean, we both agree that something better is going to come. It just sounds like you agree that the something better is going to be so quick that people would be an idiot to invest in this. Whereas
if you want it now and you like it, I think that's fine. I liked my Sidekick when I had it. And it did what I wanted to do. It was the best option for that. But it was such a very narrow window in which this is. I would not think anybody's – but I think that it's going to look – I think this window is going to is very short. That is my thinking. I think it's going to be a very short window.
Yeah, that's because, you know, when Andrew and I had the Sidekicks, it was super cool and it was really, really great. And then the day that the iPhone dropped, it was just like, wow, this is an obsolete piece of trash. And yeah. You know, that's you would have to wonder at what point is there this huge step forward with VR since there are so many massive players. I guess that's the other and correct me if I'm wrong, Andrew, but like part of the reason why you would look at VR as a technological platform that would be on track for very, very, very accelerated growth is if you look at who's invested in it as a platform right now. And it's not only a lot of people with a lot of money, but also a lot of different elements of it. You have Facebook that's invested a lot in it. You have the mobile chipset people that are now developing it. You have Apple, you know, who has developed their own proprietary chips that are very interested in moving forward with it. So it seems like there is just a lot of propellant for things to go fast. Would that be correct?
Yeah, the biggest deciding factor in anything is kind of is where the chipsets and your power consumption comes from. That's why, like, You could not have had an iPad with the same functionality the first iPad had a year before. You could, it was just, there was not no consumer chipset that would do that. The power consumption wasn't there. And it's not like Apple was like, hey, now we got this great idea. Like Microsoft had done tablet stuff and found some niches for tablets, but it wasn't mainstream because of certain limitations. Once that became possible, that's why all of a sudden there was this rush. It wasn't like Apple didn't invent the iPad, didn't invent the tablet, not at all. Apple just sort of timed themselves for when, hey, this is going to get cheaper. You know, Google with Android, once those mobile chipsets became so much more powerful, you know, you can pick up an Android phone, which is super capable for, you know, under $100. You know, it's amazing what that will do now. And we saw a very, very fast iteration with that. And so I think we're the backpacks are a short-term solution. If you got to have it, you sort of got to need it. But I think for the wide-scale consumer thing, and I think in, you know, 2 years or so, it's going to look nothing like that.
Oh, I think certainly at the very least, it's going to be a far smaller footprint, you know, and even if it's something that that is a little bit less obtrusive. But I'll tell you what, before we get into our Patreon plug, let me see if I can challenge you here, Andrew. If you were to imagine something that those backpacks would be good for, like something that you could set up and say, all right, this maybe and you correctly identified, like you don't want to build an arcade the right before these home consoles drop and totally eat your lunch. Like, is there some kind of maybe high-end pop-up experience that you could think of that those backpacks would be cool for?
Well, I mean, one of the ways that they use sort of the bigger hardware now, like when my brother does SWAT team training. You know, they go into a building, the ballroom, whatever, and they have a company or someplace that goes in, then they put in all the room sensing stuff and they put them on the hardware and all that. And you know, they practice different scenarios in VR. Of course, he described this to me and I'm like, dude, like that's like, you're using a system. It's like software's like 6 years old. That's why you're having these latency issues and stuff. And that's a problem because they have this capital cost that was, you know, you could buy consumer stuff that's so much better than what they have now, but because of the time frame, and they're doing government contracts, they're fine. I would say that's certainly a thing where if you need to be mobile and need able to do this sort of stuff, which can be you're doing training, things like that. And I do think that I absolutely think there are applications like, you know, the Compaq. Remember the Compaq Luggable, the first quote computer. There were people that needed this. There were people that, yeah, you know, you paid so much for a computer, and to be able to take a computer from your home to your office was important for some people. And if they could afford, and they didn't, having two of them, you know, was a ridiculous expenditure. So even though this thing was stupid big, the first Mac, you know, was probably roughly about the same sort of size, you know, had the handle that sort of, you could do that. And it had a little carrying case that looked like a cooler bag. You could bring that around with. That worked for certain people. For most of us, we just want this thing. We ask, like, why is it, you know, this was supposed to be kind of a big period for VR, but sales and all that haven't been what some more optimistic projections have been. And I think the biggest problem is that outside of people who are into gaming and like to deal with gaming hardware and peripherals and stuff like that, most of us, you know, it's like, okay, I got to connect a cable here. I got to set this up here. I got to do that. It's like, call me when I just put something on my face that's better than Google Gear.
Yeah, I would. I suspect that given a choice, if I could choose to wear a very svelte backpack, like a picture, I don't know, like basically like a holster, like the way a private investigator, hard-boiled private eye cop would wear.
Right, right.
If I could put on something like that and reduce.
Wait,
by,
you have a fedora?
Yes. Okay. And reduce by a pound the amount of stuff to put on my face, I'd take that in a heartbeat. And I guess that's why I don't think it's ridiculous to do a backpack at all, because I actually suspect that given a choice, people would rather strap on something not as big as this, because eventually it's going to get smaller and lighter the way all computing things do. But I think people would rather put on a light backpack and have not much on their face than the current monstrosities that we have right
100%
now.
100% agree. And I think that the thing that's going to change with the monstrosity on the face is that we're taking basically they're just using very large displays from cell phones or cell phone displays. That's what, you know, what made Oculus happened was Lucky Palmer, forget which one it is.
Palmer Lucky.
Looked at, realized like, hey, mobile screen sizes are the right size and you get enough of a density, you know, pixel density to do this. And we think we can do latency for chip latency is good enough that you're not going to get nauseous. Those were the two big things that happened, like with the tablet, where it was, hey, batteries are powerful enough, displays are big enough and don't consume as much energy. You can have that. VR happened because, oh, we have all this money going to developing mobile displays, so we can put a phone display inside of here and do this. Now we're getting, you talk about, there was this, you know, there were the, all these sort of edge cases of like super thin displays, flexible displays before that was harder to find a market because the battery consumed far much more space and, you know, volume or weight than the display did. Now we're developing super thin displays, so you can start thinking about putting those in there. But of course, all that's going to be moot after whatever you have to say and then our Patreon plug.
Well, I'll tell you what, how about we just get into the Patreon plug? It's not a plug, ladies and gentlemen. It's a notification, and it is a gigantic thank you for everybody who has gone over to patreon.com/weirdthings. Man, Brian, do you have this thing where we do so many shows that have Patreons, and we recorded all the videos at different times. Mm-hmm. That like, it just feels like at a certain point that we're like, man, we just – life changes.
Get older. We're older. We're constantly older. You see a picture from yourself yesterday and you're like, who's that strapping young lad? And then you look in the mirror and you're like, oh, Christ, who's this gargoyle?
Well, it's also like different clothes and different facial hair. I guess maybe I'm the one with the different facial hair. But you know, it's a weird look, man. Anyway, thank you. Except for Andrew.
Andrew is exact same eternal.
Since he was 11.
Well, I've been dealing with my, I have a weird skin thing with my in and out eyebrows. That's been the biggest thing is,
well, now I hadn't noticed before, but I will now.
Oh, now you will not unsee it.
Well, everybody head on over to patreon.com/weirdthings. Thank you to everybody who has continued to support this show. Over 400 people, folks, we are having a great time over there. And, if you're interested, apparently there is, we might have some cool things coming in very, very quickly to the Patreon. So
a bit of upheaval.
So I got to show you a funny thing. Speaking of changing over time. So this was hot off Amber Heard's Instagram is, the beautiful Amber Heard is, there she is, red lipstick. There's some gentleman next to her with red lipstick marks on his face.
Yes.
Recognize?
Is that a magician I should recognize?
Yeah. Not he's quite. A magician of sorts, Brian.
He is the CEO of the Boring Company.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, is that Elon Musk?
That's Elon Musk, right?
He definitely looks like he's about to ask me to pick a card.
But he's got his rugged jawline, good hair, all that. Let me tell you what, talk about what time changes. This is one of my favorite pictures ever.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
It's Elon Musk and Peter Thiel doing like one of the first PayPal promo pictures.
Musk had a little bit of work done upstairs, it looks like. Either that or he's discovered stem cells to actually make himself physically younger.
I think there might be a little bit of that restoration surgery.
Which,
right?
By the way, I've had friends who've done that. They take a little bit of the hair off the sides and they stuff it up top. You just go in like once a year for a recharge and it works like a charm. And a friend of mine who was definitely balding, he was just like, what did it for him was every time he'd ask if somebody knew who Michael Amar was, they'd say like, oh yeah, is he the bald guy? And he realized like, here's Michael Amar, world champion magician, master teacher, Gold Cups award winner. And he's just known for being bald. He's like, I can't do that. And so he,
is the friend Michael Amar?
No.
I made, you know, my dad is bald. My brother's bald. When I was in like my early 20s, I said, you know what? I got a genetic lottery I'm about to hit. We'll find out where it's going to go. And my rule was, I told myself, because I had a friend that was like going through it, balding, and he's like, I don't know if I should do this. He felt like self-conscious about doing Rogaine. And I'm like, dude, like, do it. There's nothing wrong if you want to do it. And I told I said, like, listen, like, I've already told myself, I would do it if I needed it. You know, I'm like, I already told myself, thankfully didn't need it, but because it was not going to be this, oh, am I a pretender or whatever? Like, nope. I lucked out there.
So it is the weirdest thing. Nobody, and I'm probably pinching this from something I heard somewhere else, but it is odd to me that nobody accuses you of being a faker or a fraudster for wearing colored contact lenses or for even wearing contact lenses. Oh, what are you acting like? You don't have glasses? What are you acting like? Your eyes are perfect. You're not perfect. You're a faker.
Colored contacts are a little bit weird, but go ahead.
The point
and
is,
and she's like, wait a minute, was there something that couldn't be judged? I don't think so.
Well, and it's like nobody's, you know, when a lady wears or a man wears Spanx to sculpt their body, nobody's like, you're a faker trying to look 5 pounds thinner. Like, we don't have this instinctual hate for somebody who, like we do if they dare to alter their hairline. For some reason, there's this moral indignance, and it's so insane to me. What is it about that that drives people crazy?
You are dead on, man. Like, it is a pop culture thing of like obsessing about hairlines, and you know, like even in sports. Poor LeBron James has been obviously going through like a hair kind of like restoration thing, and he wears this comically large headband to like during his job where he has to be without a head covering for on national television constantly just to protect his precious headline, just so people don't see the change to it.
Yeah. I hear you, and I think it's funny. We'll praise people for genetic attributes they had absolutely nothing to do with acquiring, and then, you know, we'll criticize people for taking steps or whatever, something to make them give them confidence or make them feel better or whatever. So, you know, I would criticize the Spanx thing if it came up on a date.
Well, not if you were planning to get laid that night. Are you kidding me?
I meant the ones that I wear.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I think it's sort of a funny thing. But, you know, we can do amazing things, though, certain hair growth, restoration, whatever like that. I know of at least one or two celebrities that were never publicly known for being bald, but were absolutely, and now they've got like amazing kind of like, you know, oh, wow, yeah, that's amazing. So the technology's there. But I think I was going to say the thing about the future of where we're going with the VR and all that, I think is one where I think we kind of all sort of probably agree with, is probably the neural lace, which got some more attention again because Elon Musk's company, which is working on trying to develop a neural lace, you know, has become a little more public into what their efforts are. And the neural lace, for those who aren't familiar with, is basically kind of like a mesh sort of thing that would go over your brain, would be implanted maybe surgically or maybe from some other sort of form of nanotechnology, whatever, a little bit ways out there, but would allow you to directly interface with stuff. We've talked about this in other podcasts. So I think that's probably the future. Agreed?
Yeah. I mean, at some point down the road, it's pretty, everything we've seen about the effects of neural lace have been, output only, right? We've not seen any experiments of input with the neural lace, right?
Well, I mean, I don't know that we've really developed a specific one or what. I don't know what qualifies for one, because we've done some implants and we've been able to stimulate like optical sensors and stuff and taste buds and things like that. So we have been able to do some forms of input to there. But, you know, and I think it's one of these things where it's a problem of just acquiring the data. What does this nerve do? How do you do this? How do you do that? And so there are certain forms of stimulation. It's very, very crude to do that. But I guess the reason this is a very future forward episode, because I was going to get into like things that we look at now. I think the neural lace kind of thing eventually, and again, I think that it'll be more acceptable when it feels extremely non-intrusive too, which, you know, how you're able to do that, I don't know, but I can see a point where that becomes a thing like a cell phone or TV, you know. It's like, yeah, we've always had this ability. You're not always, but it just, you know, you pick up your phone right now, whether it's Google or Android, and you're like, yeah, hard to remember there was a time when this wasn't always in my pocket. You know, what was life like? And I can see that with the neural lace sort of technology where it's like, oh, yeah, when I didn't have to use, I think it's a screen replacement. I remember when I had to use a screen to look at something. Now I just tell myself to think of it and it appears before me.
You know, like J.C. Calhoun makes the point like, oh, isn't there a Parkinson's implant? And I think that part of this kind of stuff at this point in history always feels weird until there is a kind of health benefit to it. Like there was a time when taking pills, you know, was like, oh God, why would I want to affect my brain? You keep your pills, crazy people. I'll just live the life that God laid out for me. And then, you know, much like anything else, there's a normalization to it and there's money put into it. And now all of a sudden we take pills for all kinds of stuff, you know, some of it more cosmetic, some of it more just to make us feel better, you know? And, yeah. I think that that's the same thing with this. There's going to be a point where you can have, like, it will be a health miracle, and then that will break the ice for all the other, you know, ancillary benefits.
Yeah, and that's their goal. Their first step is to solve brain diseases and work on it from that point of view, and then eventually expand into human enhancement. So, you know, yeah. I had LASIK surgery, you know, 15 years ago, and I remember at the time, like, you're going to let them aim lasers at your eyeballs. You know, it was like the most important part of your entire, you know, anatomy, except for, you know, yeah, pretty much. Point is, you know, you're going to let them aim lasers at your eyeballs. You're going to do that kind of thing. And then now you do it and it became, and there's some, you know, some people have had misfortune experiences over it. Overall, it's been life-changing kind of thing.
Has yours held up over the years? Because both my parents got it done and it eventually didn't hold. I hear about that you get a good 5 to 7 years and then oftentimes it fatigues. But yours is still holding up?
Yeah, I mean, it depends what point in life you have it. As you get into your 40s, your ability for your eyes to focus changes because, like, you know, I think the corneas get hardened. Start to harden a bit, yeah. And then the muscles change. And so that's a thing that everybody – that has difference to do with the shape of the lens as much as how the eye itself functions. So, you know, my vision is, you know, when I got it done, it was 2015, and I haven't noticed – the only time I ever noticed – an impairment. I think a lot of people, if they spend too much time staring at screens, you change your eyes to only focus like 20 inches, 40 inches, you know, 20, 30 inches in front of you. And that's problematic. That's why it's really important to sort of change those things up periodically. But yeah, when I got it, when I got 15, 17 years ago, they're like, told me like, yeah, you know, when you hit your 40s, you're going to probably need reading glasses. Like, you know, that's a normal sort of thing, for most people, but haven't needed it, so we'll see.
Yeah,
there's actually a technique now that can train you to actually read without reading glasses. It just helps your brain sort of recognize kind of like fuzzier text and stuff.
Oh wow, that's cool. Yeah.
It's very, very interesting. But speaking of future, so this week or coming up in the next week or so, this month, at some point in the future, but not too distant, there is a conference being held by the America's most beloved and non-controversial company, Uber. They're sure. Going to have their flying car event in Texas, of all places.
What?
On Tuesday, Uber will kick off its very first Elevate Summit, a 3-day conference in Dallas on vertical takeoff and landing aircraft, more commonly known as flying cars. So, yeah. That's a
also
thing.
Balloons, also free hot dogs. Also, you can put Travis Kalanick in a dunk tank, like literally anything to make you think about Uber in a way that doesn't make you want to throw something.
But also, I have not watched all this yet. I only watched a little bit. Today, we got the first footage of Larry Page's flying car.
Wait, oh, wow. What? I have not seen any of this.
All right, we go now live to the internet where newsy Justin Robert Young is set to describe to you the stunning visuals he's seeing on the internet.
Ah, thanks, Brian. We are here to see the... Oh, my God.
It's like the Green Goblin, but like the Russian version.
It is. Sorry.
It's on a lake. It's effectively like an like a Green Goblin is definitely a good way to kind of give the visual frame of reference. It's surrounded by netting and has two pontoons at the bottom of it.
It looks like a spider web with pontoons.
Yeah. So it's a huge quadcopter, right?
Or a hexcopter.
Yep. Hexcopter.
It looks like a hexcopter on pontoons.
I think it has 8 propellers.
Oh, is it?
I believe so.
Octocopter.
Yeah.
Octocopter.
Doc Octocopter.
That's kind of amazing.
And is that just run on batteries or?
Unicorn tears. Yeah, battery powered.
So how long do you think you can keep that thing in the air? Like 7 minutes?
You know, the time on these things is actually improving. So, trying to figure out what
that really is. That's just a full on flying thingamajig, and I'm sure there's restrictions. Do you think it's computer restricted to how high it can go?
Altitude, possibly. Yeah. Doesn't look like it's doing ground effect. Ground effect is
well. Ground effect would require that there be wings, right?
You can get kind of ground effect just between the wash of the rotors and whatever's below you. Huh. But I don't think that's ground effect though. But just to clarify.
And also, supposedly this video that we're seeing says it's meant to be flown over water.
Yeah.
Because it's got like crafting. the watercraft sort of.
Can I tell you guys something astonishing? I've lost my excitement for flying cars. I'm much more interested in self-driving cars.
10 years from now, Justin and I are going to fly by as you're walking along and just honk our air car horn and flip you off.
Well, no. I mean this in the more theoretical way. If I was king of human collective intelligences and I were to set it to fix a task, I would rather have flying cars 2 years from now. I'm sorry, self-driving cars 2 years from now than flying cars 5 years from now or whatever.
The beautiful thing is, Brian, we get both.
Yes, and that is the beautiful thing. But there was a time when it was so obvious to me that self-driving cars was a pipe dream and that flying cars we could actually do. But here we are 20 years of still, I'll bet you right now, if I bet you go to Mahler.com, a site I first found in 1997, I bet they're still touting the up-and-coming sky car.
Scroll up a little bit. So this is their pitch, right? That if you
Uber,
go from the
not Mahler, the pipe dream company.
Yeah, no, this is from
Uber's white paper on the Elevate Summit. It's a it's how you would go from San Francisco to San Jose using different Uber options like UberX and Uber Pool, what it would cost for a VTOL between the two things now and near and long-term pricing. They're saying that compared to an Uber X with transit, which would be $31, a long-term price for a VTOL transport would be about $20.
There's a specific kind of situation because you're going through like two or three different very specific kind of choke points when it comes to traffic to go from that point in San Francisco down to San Jose. But their pitch is, hey, look, it's 43 miles in 15 minutes. How would you not want to do that?
And I think it's a multi-use situation because the problem with flying cars, and I had this discussion with entrepreneur who was very, 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 very pro self, very, very anti self-driving, super pro flying car. Hmm. And I'm like, well, here's the problem is the noise problem is that you're not going to want to be using flying cars. If you imagine the volume of traffic that we have now and that was all flying cars, it would be deafening outside. It would be super, super deafening.
Which, by the way, is what's great about this example that we see here, because it shows them flying over the bay away from traffic,
corridor,
dodging all the bottlenecks. Yeah,
exactly. So I think it's going to be flying cars going to be great for not necessarily I want to go to McDonald's. Then we're just going to use our self-driving car, down the street. If it's like I need to get to LAX airport or I want to get through some places. Think of it this way. The problem with self-driving cars is they're wonderful technology in theory. Okay, wonderful technology. The network limitation, the limitation on their utility comes down to how many cars can we put down a highway? How many cars can we put down a road? And self-driving will improve that if we have a lot more autonomous cars there and we're able to do that. But there is a pipeline problem. Flying cars is great because you can say, okay, we can have a corridor between that. We can say, here's a flight corridor between these two destinations. You got to fly through here. You can keep stacking them higher and higher on top of each other. You don't have to build roads. You just say, it's kind of like Back to the Future, where they had the air highways, which sounds kind of silly. And it's like, why? You can go anywhere in the air. Like, no, you're going to want to direct that traffic too. But that would be a solution. One solution for that is flight corridors for this.
Sure. Flight corridors, I mean, we actually kind of have that in that there are certain north-south altitudes, certain east-west ones.
But this would be much lower altitude ones.
Sure, of course. But
this would be more – think of flying cars as the commoditization of helicopters, right?
Correct.
Like now, like the way that – it's easier to get from, let's say, Manhattan to Long Island in a helicopter than it is for the super rich – than it is to drive on the Long Island Expressway. This is just the, like, now that becomes from the mega rich to the just kind of rich, if not dare to dream, middle class, right?
Right.
And that's
I think it's a good example. I think that the goal here is that there are some examples they show where they showed one of the examples where there was a car on a chassis that could drive around, and then this flying VTOL whatever system came in, grabbed the car, picked it up into the air, and flew off. Which you watch that simulation, like, oh, that looks cool, but I don't know, sitting inside of there, that sounds kind of scary.
Oh, yeah. No, it seems like that is the equivalent of those cars that turn into boats, where it's like, well, that seems convenient. Yeah. But it's like, no, take the 5 whole minutes to get out of your car and into a boat, and you'll be better all around. Take the 5 whole minutes to get out of your car and into the flying machine, and you'll be better off.
Hey,
and
Brian, also, you know what's really good at being a boat?
A boat?
True. This is a fact.
Yeah, anybody who owns a boat could tell you, like, yeah, you want to know what? I don't think that this boat thing is as reliable and foolproof as some people might think. Like, you know, if there's some problem on the driver's side or the boat side that is incurred, and you have both of them taken out immediately in the kind of situations that you find yourself in, I think maybe it's not. Maybe there's a reason that one hasn't picked up.
Oh, my God. Hold on. Bryce has pulled up the Mahler Skycar page, which, yes, if you look at the graphics, scroll up here. It's all the same graphics I saw when I was at my day job in 1999 working at Dell. But then when you scroll down, right there on the page, it is a giant red button that says, oh, if you want to see our SEC dispute history, that's right here for you. We're totally legit.
Well, that's an example of a technology. The problem is that they were really, really set on still using conventional turbines and rotorcraft to try to do a problem. There was a very problematic solution for that with electricity and batteries. It's like, it's probably these are, you know, you're going to get higher, smaller motors, higher efficiency. And so it was like, yeah, flying cars are cool. That's not the way to make one, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And the SEC's opinion.
Yeah. When you click on the SEC dispute thing, the title of the document is Our Side of the Story. And it's like, oof, that's not great.
Andrew and I are compiling a list of sentences that when you say it, you've already lost the argument.
We'll go throw that one on the bonfire.
Our Side
yes,
to the
Holocaust
SEC's.
Happened.
Yeah.
Oh, man. What time is it?
Oh, I don't know, man. I mean, I this is normally where we do picks because this is the end of the show because nobody shows up for the show anymore except for me. So, like, you know, this is normally where we just go to picks. We don't do anything else. We go to picks. Who's got picks? I pick food. I love it. I eat it a couple times a day.
I guess it's pick time. Is that what happens? Is it pick time? Is it we go to picks? Is
I know. Apparently everybody's here now all of a sudden. We can maybe do something else. I don't know.
Brian, there.
I was gonna name a whiskey that I learned about in whiskey sommelier class, but I guess I got a little free time if there's something you guys want to do.
Something like there was something I was forgetting. I always like feel like you know forgetting something, and then you like wake up in the middle of the night panicking, and you're like, no, I got rid of that storage unit 8 years ago. No, I did pick up grandmother from the hospital 6 months ago. You know, like yeah, I did do that. You know, there's something. Oh, I know. No, that wasn't it. That was just an image of a monkey riding a bicycle in my head, but it was really cool, and he waved at me.
Just say Journey Quest.
What? Journey Quest? What's Journey Quest?
I do believe we have a recap of our adventures to date.
Goodness, because I forgot.
Previously on
Journey Quest!
Here's the thing. There's going to be an eclipse in about 45 seconds.
Man, if only somebody would untie me, I'm going to real give them the king's business.
Tell me this is part of some plan.
When asked whether or not you would like chicken or fish, remember the halibut.
That doesn't clear it up.
I was just thinking the same thing. I think we all know exactly where we are.
To recap Journey Quest so far, it's the apocalypse. We had Brian, who was one of the few survivors, as far as you knew, was just chilling out his house. Justin shows up at his house. They go on a journey to try and find me, because that's what good friends do. And also, like, you know, go find, you know, Justin's wife and all those other people they're responsible for. Along the way, a lot of stuff happened. We had biker gangs of girl engineers. We had Mad Max type scenarios. We had secret labs, bunker situations. And then we had a time travel experiment in which apparently these guys got transferred back to the Middle Ages, and using their superior knowledge of technology and tactics, they ended up on the chopping block moments before having their heads about to be separated from their bodies. They were actually did a daring escape, only to find out it was just a cruel, cruel trick to raise their expectations.
Yeah. Mm. So,
it was controversial with the fans.
Where are we right now?
You're on the chopping block with the axe about to come down.
Mm. What do I have in my inventory?
We have in your inventory soiled pants.
Okay.
You guys smell really bad because you crawled through a sewer.
Yep.
In the latrine while people were using it. It was really disgusting.
How many folks are around us?
There's a lot. You're not getting away. You're planning this thing, and all of a sudden you hear the sound of the axeman raising his axe.
Sure.
And you're cut. All right, sound of this thickening, sick, just gross sounding a chop and a snap and a thud.
Justin?
That's Journey Quest, ladies and gentlemen. thank you so much.
That was there's no response from Justin.
No, I'm here. Am I dead? No, I'm not dead.
I'm not dead.
I open my eyes and look around.
You got a bag over your head.
What?
Oh, but they pulled the bag off your head.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do we see?
You look over, and there's this gashing neck just spurting blood all over people in the crowd. It's gross. It's just pumping out blood. And there's Justin's head just looking back at you.
What? You cut off Justin's head?
I didn't. The axe guy cut it off.
But I'm not dead?
You're the version of not dead where you're dead.
I scream, Justin!
Oh, and all of a sudden the axe comes down on you.
And then I say,
and then darkness.
Oh.
Darkness. It's just dark. Then all of a sudden you feel like you're opening up your eyes.
Yeah.
And it's a white void. It's a white void.
Am I alone?
Is this a late season Sopranos episode?
You look over. I never got that far. You look over, and there's Justin, and you're both dressed in white.
Oh, you look great, Justin.
Yeah. You look tan and healthy.
You look clean shaven
and
well read.
Endless white void. There the two of you are.
Hey, so I guess...
Wait, we just like ask for guns like in the Matrix?
That's exactly what I was going to do. In fact, I say that. I say, we need guns, lots of them.
Nothing, still just in the white void.
Okay. All right, you try, Justin.
We need kung fu. And then I need some kung fu. Do I know how to do it any better?
Well, I however he does it, I humor him and say, that was pretty good, man. That was pretty good.
Yeah, it's no crouching tiger.
It occurs to me that we might be being broadcast as an elaborate prank. So I wink at Justin to indicate we might be being broadcast. Wink.
If we're not in the Matrix, is this our pathway to heaven? Should we be walking toward St. Peter's pearly gates?
No. Here we go. I shake my hands. I try to clear my thoughts. I'm like, look, here's what we know. Here's what we know. We are conscious and we're seeing stuff around. Now, let's go back to the beginning. Do you think it was really possible that that crazy German Nazi scientist actually had a time machine? Because, you know, on Weird Things, we talked about time machines and how it's not possible. What if he put us in a simulation? Because we never really found out where we were or when. And if we're in a simulation, we could still be inside a holodeck, still held prisoner by that crazy Nazi scientist.
We also do know that they didn't really have the technology that they proposed that they had before, because they were just keeping all the food there. So there is a lot of smoke and mirrors. And if we were put into some kind of virtual reality, I check to see if I'm wearing a backpack.
Oddly enough, you reach back and you feel something on your back.
Oh, Justin, turn around. And I feel his back, what I think is just his robed back. What do I feel?
Oh, it's a mole. It's cancer. Sorry, never mind.
Okay, all right.
No. But Brian, he turns around and you feel his back, and like you're looking at his normal back, but you feel like a backpack on him.
Oh my gosh. I check my back. Actually, I'm coy about it. I'm like, oh, Justin, I've got this itch on my back, because in case somebody's watching, I don't want them to know. I'm like, there's an itch on my back. It's right here at the small of my back. Would you just be a dear?
I immediately go to reach to Brian, but I creepily linger my hands at the small of his back just to check. I'm just being thorough, you know. I just want to double check and make sure that it's cool.
I calculate how many days it's been since both of us have lost our wives.
Hey, listen, you've lost your wife, Mo.
All right,
hold it out, hope.
But now Justin's face starts to melt, and you realize it's not really a backpack. You're just hallucinating and slowly going mad.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's unfortunate. I scream out to the darkness. I live, universe. Brian Brushwood existed.
Flash of light. All of a sudden, you're back inside of the oven/time machine.
Whoa. Justin.
What the hell?
I think I was
onto something. The scientist is pressing his face up against the glass. He's yelling at something. He's yelling something at you. It sounds like something. Temporal vortex.
Well, we go over and we knock on the window back at him like he's a fish that we're trying to disturb into doing something interesting.
It sounds like we're going to need to find some Tampa corn nuts.
Tampa corn nuts. Those are the best kinds of corn nuts. The jalapeno spice corn nuts.
Huge electrocution. Huge electrocution. Huge shock, whatever kind of thing. Right? You're stunned, and now you're back inside the chamber.
Okay. Well, so we're still locked in, though, right?
You actually realize there's a handle now. You don't remember the handle from before, but there's a handle.
Man, they must have given us a pill.
Wait, hold on. Wait, so we're in the all white room, or we're back in the bunker?
We're in the giant easy bake oven. I grab that handle. I don't even bother to recap it for Justin.
Oven machine.
I kick open. I grab that handle. I kick open the door, and I jump in, saying, "Hiya! What Nazis wants it to the face?"
And then I jump back out and say, "I'm gonna go ham, Goebbels." But I don't mean like we're on the same team. I mean that I'm going to get your ass, Goebbels. And that's my whole catchphrase.
So you pop out there. There's nobody there. In fact, you notice it's a different room than before.
Hey, wait, what?
This is a different room than before.
Well, he did shout temporal vortex. You know what? I wonder if we did get sent into the past, but we messed up enough stuff that it caused a temporal vortex, and we're in a slightly different timeline now.
There's only one way to find out.
Turn on this television. Is Seinfeld still on the air?
No TV. It's just an empty room, except for there's a staircase, old concrete staircase leading up.
Okay. Well, I'm embarrassed for suggesting the Seinfeld thing, so I start doing the Seinfeld theme as we walk over to the stairs.
I walk up the stairs and then lean over to Brian and just say, well, we should go discover whether or not we're alive. Yada, yada, yada.
There's a doorway. Go through the door. And you're in sort of just this another sort of bunker type area.
Okay.
There's a man leaning over a desk, but you see it from the back.
Does he appear to be an old man? Is he in uniform?
I mean, all you see from the back is maybe he's wearing a suit or something like that. He holds up one finger, telling you to wait, as he's going over some documents.
I
scream, you listen here, Goebbels. I'm sick of your crap. I'm going to give you
a hand over his mouth, and I say, find a weapon. And I scan the room.
Well, you see a gun sitting on the desk next to the guy.
By him, huh?
Yeah.
Is there like an axe, like an emergency fire?
But remember, fighter? He casually just held up a finger telling you to wait one moment.
I'm not moving. I'm just planning, right?
That's just saying, like, it's not like he feels there's a sense of urgency.
Okay.
Gestures and you notice there's a nice two leather chairs there. Gestures there. And there's like a table there with some pastries.
All right. I'm going to go. I
sit down because I'm actually feeling a bit peckish.
All right, I break open the croissants to see if any of them have jelly in it, because I don't like the jelly ones. But when I find one without any jelly in it, I start eating that croissant.
I eat the croissants that Brian's breaking open because, Jesus, like, come on. Like, we don't want to be rude, although Brian's being really weird and picky.
Halfway with my mouth full, I'm like, do I have any crystal light? It's kind of just dry. I don't see any crystal light, though.
There's no crystal light. There's no crystal light. Okay. A woman walks into the room. Okay. Woman walks in the room, wearing a dress, kind of like, looks kind of like an old fashioned dress, whatever. She walks in, she looks at you guys, just sort of gives you sort of a faint little nod, walks over, sets a folder down on the guy's desk, and then walks out.
All right.
Hold on. I look at the hemline of the skirt as a clue as to what decade we may or may not be in.
Sure. That's why you do it.
I immediately look at the top of her dress to see what decade we're in.
I examine closely her hindquarters to see if Spanx have been invented yet.
I immediately linger on her feet just because I'm a perv.
You know, the skirt is like below the knee, kind of, you know.
And it's what color? Is it like a faded olive green?
Yeah, exactly what it is.
Yeah, dude. I lean over and I'm like, World War II era time travel.
Yes. It's like, hey, listen, for this backpack.
There's a you turn around. I mean, you're sitting there. You're still kind of like just trying to figure out, like, specifically, like, what's going on here. Okay, and I'm gonna send Bryce an image. Okay. And this is gonna be really fun for our audio listeners because
not gonna look.
Here's what I want you to do: is in a moment, the woman's gonna walk back into the room. She's gonna tap the guy on the shoulder, and they're gonna turn around. And I'm gonna tell you what I'm gonna show you what you're gonna see.
Okay. Well, in the meantime. In the meantime, I look over and I kind of whisper to Justin. I say, told you it was right to run away from the castle. Otherwise, we still would have been stuck in that. The pastries here are better because it's more future than then was.
And Brian, this is not the time to be scoring points. Okay, we still don't know whether or not we're.
All right,
dead.
I'm going to send this image just to you guys. I want to send it. I don't want anybody else to see this.
Okay. All right. So, in the meantime. I'm all like, hey, man, had you ever, was that a dream when we died? Or, I mean, do you think we really died? Also, did your head roll? Were you still conscious when your head was rolling? Did it look like you were in a roller coaster?
It just was a sound. And then all of a sudden we were in the white place.
Dude, because I seen your dead eyes. Don't do that again, okay?
Don't get beheaded?
Yes, please don't get beheaded.
Okay. Oh, God damn it.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
God damn it. Oh, jeez.
All right, so listen.
And that's the expression, by the way.
Yeah, all right. So both of us say, God damn it, and we look.
We're in a bunker, right?
And yeah.
So which one's which?
Okay. Is the guy still writing right now?
That's what we see in our own reflection?
No, that's what we see in the room with us. That's the man and the woman.
Okay. Gotcha.
Oh, okay.
So now I lean over to Justin and I'm like, okay, all those drunken arguments, not as impractical as I thought. What are we doing here? What's the play?
Next time on Journey Quest.
Gah! Wait, they don't get to find out?
I think they know. I think they know. I think they've
flash the like. This is just the. All right, here's your next week on Journey Quest, Bryce. Just flash the image of what we saw.
3, 2, 1, bow.
exactly what you thought. Our clue would be for our the happy homeowners of Eagle's Nest.
Oh man, nobody's commenting in the chat because they're all trying to go back and see what you flash. Yeah, it's pretty much what you expect. Next time on Journey Quest,
let's do some picks, guys.
Heck yeah. Hold on, I had a pick but I've forgotten it.
Hey, I got a pick.
Yeah, good.
Doctor Who's back. I've had a very fraught relationship with Doctor Who, specifically with the current showrunner in his final season, Stephen Moffat. I'm happy to report that after 2 episodes, they're at like 500. I really like the premiere. The premiere was good. It did kind of I think probably the kind of episode that they should have done to introduce Peter Capaldi. It was a nice little kind of bottle episode, and it did a great job, much in the same way that the premiere with Matt Smith introduced Matt Smith as this childhood, you know, figment of a little girl's imagination. Now all of a sudden come to revisit her when she's older. That very much kind of embodies Matt Smith's interpretation of the Doctor. In this version, there is the super cool college professor who has more up his sleeve than you might initially think. And he befriends a chick who works making fries at the commissary. And now they go on these intergalactic adventures through time and space. It was good. It plugged into the cool elements of it. Second episode, kind of Doctor Who at its most Doctor Who tropey. But like in general, I actually really, really liked the premiere. And so there we go. Check it out. Doctor Who.
Dude, I'm going to pick the return of a show that I found very laborious and challenging at first, but have come to absolutely adore in all of its, I'll say absurdist, but yet believable insanity. It's The Leftovers. The first season was very tough to get through. It's largely character driven. You're watching process and you don't know why. Second season just picks it right up with a story that makes sense. It ends super, super strong. And the third season begins moving things forward in new, insane, and increasingly crazy ways. I'm enjoying it very, very much. And it's got Christopher Eccleston, the doctor.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. That was a show I'm like, I'm not going to get into it because I don't think I have a resolution. I won't be happy, so...
Well, we still don't know about the resolution, but I'll say even if you just watch, if you're just going to watch one thing, you know, jump in the second season, I think you'll be fine. But I'm digging a lot.
It did seem to have a huge critical, the first season was fairly roundly criticized, and the second season seemed to be fairly well praised.
Yeah.
My pick is a cool little app that I used couple times now, it's Apple's Clips. Have you tried this?
No.
I screwed up with it the first time, and I taught Dan Benjamin's child to curse.
Yeah, so what it is Clips lets you create super, super easy sort of like record like quick moments, whatever, but it's got a lot of cool features in there. So let me open up Clips right now, and I'm going to use Clips. It has this, if you want to record a video, you have a button that says hold to record. So as long as you're holding the button to record, so it's streamlining. You can see that my background there. So I'm making a recording right now, but I actually don't want that. So let me delete that. It's one of these things where it takes a little moment to figure out what it does, but I'll show you like my favorite feature with it. I'm going to do this record. As I speak, what happens is it's taking my words and it's turning them into text on the screen, and it's pretty accurate, which is pretty cool.
Wow. So what's the purpose of this? It makes it into what, a video file that's easy to share? Wow, and that it even times it directly. It removes that lag.
Yeah, it's really good.
That's great. Fact.
So what it's for everything. So like I made a trailer for like my book, Illusion Book, which is now in paperback, right? If you want to do, you can do effects, you can throw photos in there. Like a lot of times you want to create like a quick little, I made a little commercial with it because you want a quick tool to put together some video, but you know, there's not a lot of really good tools. There's not even good tools for YouTubing, to be honest with you, that like just, you know, without trying to get pro. But if you just want something super simple to do, like a really cool video, quick review or whatever, I've had a little bit of, you know, fun playing with it. So, you know, it exports as a movie format. As far as doing a .gif or a GIF, you know, because it has audio, it doesn't do that natively, but you can use another app. You can just take it to your image folder on your album on your phone, and then you can export it into an app that would do that to grab that. So yes, you can do that. You can, you know, export it into whatever format you want. Remember, GIFs are very, very thick, very heavy. Oh, cool. Bryce is showing the I made it, and it has built-in music tracks that you can drop in and play there. So you can drop in a music track. A lot of just really cool features in it that's very simple. It's, you know, take you 5 or 6 minutes to learn, you know, what the features are. And once you have it, it's a really great tool for creating just super quick videos. So I think they did it. I love the hold to record. The hold to record is great because, like, if you want to make a movie, yeah, just use, you know, the camera mode or use iMovie. But if you want to make a quick, hey, I'm talking to my phone, which is that's a relatively new genre. You know, that's only 5 or 6 years old at this idea of how much media, the selfie sort of is as a form of media.
Is there, you know, think about that. Is there a limit to how long you could go on it?
I don't know. I don't know what the limit is.
I don't think if there is, it's pretty significant. I think you can go pretty long in the little bit that I played with it.
That's fun.
It's actually pretty muscular, and you can export it as a video and then upload it to a bunch of stuff. It's natively connected to a lot of different apps, although not Twitter, oddly enough.
Twitter has a 2-minute, 20-second limit on their videos, which might be, but I guess it's because it's not.
But you could still export to a video and then upload that as your Twitter video, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Cause like that's,
you know, I did. You can do that. That's how I taught Dan Benjamin's kid to say the F word.
It's a Justin's babysitting service.
Apparently it's just kids in Austin. I'm now up to two kids in Austin that I've taught the F word.
What I like about this is certain things succeed once you change the paradigm in which we look at them and we understand that.
Right.
You know, I showed that photo earlier of my little dongle for the Sidekick, which was silly for the moment. But then once we put cameras and phones, hard to imagine what cameras and how useful they would have been 15 years ago, you know, or 10 years ago or whatever, pre-iPhone, pre-Android. Now the cameras are in every single phone. It changes everything. Instagram works because everybody has a camera in their pocket.
Yeah.
You know, that's why Instagram, that's why Snapchat works. Snapchat is that to the next step of the hold and record kind of thing. The idea of like, oh, not every video is this record. I'm going to do this, go back and edit. If you're holding, recording, you're editing as you're doing it, it's paradigm changing. You know, it's very fascinating to me. So
awesome. That's it. Dude, that's great. I want you to know that that was such a good pick. I am now updating my iOS just so I can get it.
Cool. Very cool. I think it would be cool. This is the one time I'm like, man, Apple should have their own native way to share this. Their own sort of, you know, network of like they could have created, you know, where they've tried to create social networks before where you're like, hey, do you really need to have your own social network for this? Here's a situation where I'm like, no, I think this would actually be kind of a cool thing just to have like a place to store them.
Well, I think they're figuring out that group chat has organically evolved into that space.
That is their social network. They made their social network. It's called Messages, and they should continue to make that more and more muscular. And, you know, obviously they got their own ways of looking at things, but I would not mind if it even left to other platforms and you got at least base, you know, some of the base functionality of Messages on, I mean, at least my laptop and my desktop. Like the fact that my chat on my desktop and my that doesn't have the same animations and cool kind of stuff that I can do on my phone is kind of frustrating.
Yeah. I would, but I guess my point is that those aren't public facing networks.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's my, like, hey, here's a video I'm going to send to my three friends. But if I wanted to put something, share it to the wider platform of the world, I still need to upload it onto YouTube or somewhere else. Where if Apple had their own native upload here, here's a public link to share thing.
Yep.
That'd be kind of cool. So,
yeah.
Gentlemen, it's been weird. It's good to be back.
Yeah, it is.
Where are we?
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.